The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 3, verses 23 to 38. It is page 225 in the New Testament. I will read the words. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was a son, so he was thought of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Mat, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Joseph, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonan, the son of Risa, the son of Jerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, then the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Mena, the son of Matata, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Herzan, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Amen. The old saying, 표사유피 인사유명, means a leopard leaves behind his fur after his death, and a person leaves behind his name. This is a saying of Wang Enjang, a general of a later Liang dynasty. He was excellent in military skills and strategy and contributed greatly in battle. He was also called as Wang Chulchang, meaning Wang of the Iron Spears, as he became known for his skills in wielding two iron spears that weighed 100 kun in weight. He ended up being captured at a battle at Sanso area with the later Tang Dynasty. And the Emperor of Tang, who thought highly of his valor, tried to convince him to defect to Tang Dynasty. But Wang refused to do so, leaving behind a saying, and died by execution. In the same way that a leopard leaves behind his fur that speaks of his beautiful dignity and appearance, a man leaves behind a name that speaks of his life and fame. And so the world urges for men to leave something behind, achieve something, while he lives his short life. And so we can look around and find various ways that a life of a person can be expressed. An autobiography about one's own life. A biography written by somebody based on a particular person's usual life experiences or achievements. A resume that summarizes on a page a person's experience, education, and the records of the steps he took in his life. A self-introductory letter in which a story is told about various stages of one's life and events and where the person's thoughts and philosophy about life can be discerned. All these attempts to memorialize life achievements and accomplishments and introduce a person's life to a third person. However, we cannot deny that in these attempts, a person is often overpackaged and overanalyzed. In comparison with the attempts of the world to beautify and magnify a person, the Bible speaks differently about life. This is from Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all times. Psalm 89:47. Remember how fleeting is my life, for what futility you have created all humanity. Psalm 97. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Isaiah 2:22. Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In addition to these verses, the Bible tells us in countless passages that life is very fragile, has no enduring worth, is full of trouble and sorrow, and is so short that it feels like it flies away from us. What men do is repeat evil deeds, and that they are beings who cannot save themselves from such deeds. The Bible tells us this very clearly. This is how the Bible understands human beings. Today's text is a genealogy of Jesus, which was recorded with the intent to introduce Jesus to people who are reading the gospel, before he tells of Jesus' public ministry, which began after the Lord's baptism by the River Jordan. A genealogy is a book which reveals the family tree and relationships of a particular bloodline based on patriarchy. Its purpose is to reveal the progenitor of people who share the same bloodline and to respect and preserve the facts of the bloodline. Relatively speaking, Hebrews are people who did a good job of preserving genealogies despite many wars and threats to their nation. Now, it was a custom for a Jewish person to speak of a person's parents and other family members, such as grandfather, who were in the direct family line, when speaking of such person. This was because genealogy became a standard by which a person could be understood. But there is something different about the genealogy and other writings about a person I mentioned earlier. It is that there is only a name and no other flowery words about the person. We can think of genealogy simply as a record of names. But there is actually a lot of meanings in it. The genealogy in Luke lets us know that men are finite beings. In this genealogy of Luke, a total of 77 persons make their appearance. Among them, there is no one who was able to exist in a preceding generation in history. There was no one who was able to live twice because the first ended with regrets. To every person, there is a time of birth, a beginning, and a time when the life ends, the ending. Of course, there could be some differences in number of years or decades, but without fail, there is a time when the life comes to an end. This is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Prophet Isaiah says that men are like grass and flowers in the field, which will surely dry up before the sun and the wind of passing times. But those who are held by the word of God can stand forever. The names that appear in Luke's genealogy seem to us a fragile existence, taking up less than a full verse in the Bible. The name of each person does not seem to offer us much meaning. But what the names in this genealogy is recorded on the saving history of Jesus Christ, we can see that they can coexist forever with true and absolute value. Living a life does not simply mean breathing, eating, and sleeping. We do not live well simply by being busy, doing something, achieving some great accomplishments, or winning in a competitive world. Our lives take on absolute meaning and infinite value when we participate in the saving works of God, having been taken hold by His arms that are never too short. Everyone has experience of having labored for nothing, like school project or a work report we pulled all night to get it done, vanishing because the computer stopped working. Or the experience of a business plan that we worked so hard on for many months simply coming to nothing. This was true for Peter as well before he became a disciple of Jesus. The Lake Galilee, which is made up of clear waters flowing down from Mount Hermon, is very large. It measures 20 kilometers in length and 12 kilometers in width, and more than 200 types of fishes live in the lake. The Gospel of John refers to this lake as the Sea of Tiberias, in other words, the Sea of Emperor. And Peter tried to catch fish in that place where self-desires and the ways of the emperor, the world, ruled, but couldn't catch even one fish. The morning came after a night of hard work. Peter wanted to hurry home and rest, but the Lord came on his boat. After teaching people on his boat for a while, the Lord asked Peter to move his boat to a deeper place and throw his net in the water. In obedience to that command, Peter moved his boat to a deeper water. The result was that Peter got to catch fish until his net became so full that it threatened to tear. Now, how Peter responded to what happened is very surprising. Instead of asking Jesus, "How did all these fishes get caught?" or "Why couldn't I catch many fish like this?" what Peter said was a totally unexpected confession. "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinner." Peter realized that he, who lived in the sea of self-desires and covetousness, was like a dead body. He fished all night long, ate and drank from his work, But he was not living in the true sense. There was no way to express how he lived, floundering, trying to compete with others, other than to say that he was sin. To Peter, who deeply realized that he was a sinner, the Lord taught him that a life lived based on the words of God is true life. And Peter was able to become a disciple who staked his life on God's words. If we are living a life that can't be repeated, then on what should we base our lives on? We can hear even now the voice that says, "Your eyes will become brighter and you will become like God." In the same way that the snake tempted Eve. The world entices us to eat material goods that are put on the platters of our wants, to build up castles of self-desires and become the most powerful person to a position that no one can get to become like God. It tells us to hype up and overpackage ourselves in order to survive in the competitive world. But the genealogy of Luke very strongly points to a direction to us who are living without being conscious of slowly drowning in the sea of desires. That is, God is at the top of us, on each of our lives, on all generations of human beings, and at the very pinnacle of history. Because Luke knew this very well. To tell us this, he records the genealogy of Jesus in the ascending order. If the genealogy in the descending order focuses on the last of the descendants appearing at the very end, the genealogy in the ascending order focuses on the progenitor who is the very top of the family tree. Luke recorded God as being at the top of the genealogy of Jesus. There is no other genealogy that is recorded in the Bible which goes all the way back to God. This reveals that Jesus is the Son of God and that the direction all of us should head for is God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. After Adam sinned, every person is walking towards death. In other words, we are beings who are actually dying and is not living. But because our Lord has overcome the power of death and lived again, we have all come to gain a new life in Jesus Christ. What we who have gained new life should look to is no longer the sea of self-desires that leads to death, but to mighty God who gives us life. The Lord came to us so that we will look to God of life instead of the sea of self-desires. Luke knew this very well. This is why he records the genealogy of Jesus, in which it ascends to God. Not one person who appears in Luke's genealogy knew that his life would be used as a pathway for the birth of Jesus. Now, these names, other than Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, and others whom we meet elsewhere in the Bible are not really familiar to us. We do not know how they lived and how they met God. They probably lived a very ordinary day, a month no one gave recognition to, and a year which was nothing special. They just merely lived their lives. They left nothing. They just left merely a name behind a lifetime. But even though they could not know, God used their lives wholly as a pathway by which He sent the Lord to this earth. God who gives us life, God who gathers up the little lives to accomplish this history, this mighty God who even now guides and leads those among us who are just another unknown, nameless persons. He remembers each of us. Although our lives may seem to lack any meaning and nothing is happening, God still remembers each of us. I wish to share with you a story about a special education teacher. On this teacher's desk, there is a canned coffee which the teacher dares not drink. The story behind a canned coffee is like this. Almost in every case, special education teachers are often plagued by deep doubts about what they do. The reason is because of the particular nature of the work they do. In the education sphere, the special education takes up only a peripheral space in terms of importance or size. Further, because the students who are entrusted to the teachers have various different challenges, so that teachers must always pay sensitive and detailed attention in caring for them. Compared to the time, the passion, and the love that the teachers pour into their jobs, it's hard to expect the education to make much difference, and if they come, they're only minimal. And because of this, the teachers often plunge into doubts. And this was not an exception for this teacher. The reality of the school was the teacher was saddled with excessive meetings and administrative work and didn't have time to pay attention to teaching and what was going on in the classroom. And the objectives of the education was not so grand either, so that the teacher was in the midst of agonizing over her life. And two, the objectives were to make them sit properly, to teach them not to yell during class, to teach how to lift a spoon to eat a meal, to teach how to wait in line, to teach how to get on and off the bus by him or herself, how to do grocery shopping, how to write and receive emails on a computer. And to repeat these training was close to waging a war rather than teaching. One day when the teacher was on night duty, a student who graduated from the school came to see him after getting off work that he was able to get using public transportation. He was a student with a Down syndrome who worked at a place which employed physically handicapped people called Protective Workplace for a wage which was below minimum wage. The student who couldn't speak well because he couldn't enunciate sounds clearly came to see the teacher at the office, and the thing that he handed to the teacher, saying, "Teacher, I missed you," was a canned coffee. The canned coffee became answers to many questions to which the teacher had failed to find an answer. Does this job have any meaning? Even if I continue, what accomplishments can I achieve? Will the children really change because of these trainings? It taught the teacher that teaching the students meant allowing them to sing of dreams and hopes. It was something that had to be done, although its progress was very slow. Now, to see somebody you want to see and have a talk and share a cup of coffee seemed like no big deal. But you know, that's for that student to have bought the canned coffee, get on the bus, visit the school, and to hand that canned coffee to the teacher, all of this was a miracle that the student's parents and the teacher had worked together to achieve. After that, this canned coffee came to stand for the calling of God, a symbol that rekindles the passion when it cools. And even now, it stands at a corner of the teacher's desk. God is sovereign over history. If we do not know that God is sovereign over history, it is easy for us to think about life as a short-distance race. If we live with short and shallow breath, every day will feel overwhelming and we will only get tired because of reality that is looming over us and all the work we have to do. As we repeat days that seem meaningless, we can think of ourselves merely as a valueless canned coffees that are mass-produced at a factory. But Luke, in order to help us take long and deep breath, records a family tree that spans over 77 generations. If we regard our lives as a long-distance marathon, our breath will become longer. We can see our lives not as a series of unconnected chunks of time, but as a part of the long history of God. The many persons who are recorded in the genealogy are not persons who disappeared without any significance, but were the guidance of God, the providence of God to send the Messiah who will save humankind. Although they, in their time, did not see the coming of Messiah, although they did not make a name for themselves, God has used them for His long saving works. God, through the family genealogy of Jesus, is telling us that the lives of the 77 persons and all of us who have gathered here today are not just mere canned coffees. The 77 persons who are recording the genealogy were faithful throughout generations and gaps until Jesus Christ came to this earth. They are all holy pathways of God who continue their single calling. The faith that believe that the will of God will be done, the hope for their neighbors and children, the love for God, who is sovereign over history, made these people of genealogy into people of calling. They do not assert the truthfulness of their position. They do not say that their roles were the greatest. They do not list all of their achievements in detail after detail. They are content that they are known by God who is at the very top, even if people do not remember or acknowledge them. The people recognize Jesus merely as a son of Joseph, but the Lord had already begun His calling as a Messiah. The Lord lived His life as the one who was called, and the world was not ready for Him. So that even the disciples failed to understand Him, but even so, Jesus lived out His calling. In the same way that people thought of the Lord merely as a son of Joseph, the world today can regard us Christians as just merely another powerless person. Within the great structure of a society, one Christian can look very fragile. But rather than waiting for the world, which is unprepared, Shouldn't we first proactively live the life of the cross in which we serve God and our neighbors in genuineness, regardless of whether the world is ready or not? The person who believes that the God is at the top of our history will walk the path of calling without so many words, the same path given to Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for coming to us who had been living in the sea of self-desires, letting down nets of wants. We confess that a life lived to leave behind one's name is an empty boat that catches nothing. We did not have courage to come away from this seemingly abundant sea. And we had not enough faith to follow the Lord. Although we are Christians, it hurt our self-pride to lose out and thought that nothing would change in the world merely because I happen to live as a Christian. But Lord, help us no longer to position our lives in the Sea of Tiberias. Help us to establish our lives on the eternal words of God, like Jesus, who established a path of calling on the words of God, regardless of the conditions and situations of the world. And so, in the same way that the fragile cross of the Lord breathed life into the world, may our lives, resembling that of the Lord, bring peace to the world marked with fragmentation and alienation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.